This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Back in on the drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. We're talking about the breaking news right now for the Kansas City Chiefs. Arrowhead out of here. He has been permanently banned from Arrowhead. A 32-year run has come to an end. He is a Pro Football Hall of Famer. You would have thought that the Chiefs would have more respect for a Pro Football Hall of Famer. He is the man who brought together a divided fan base and two Guinness World Records for the loudest stadium in the world. Rob, we got to talk about if this really affects the Chiefs' home field advantage now. I mean, we've talked about Arrowhead as being one of the toughest places to play. It's one of the toughest places to play because X-Factor is in the building. He ain't going to be there anymore.
I think the question we all need to ask is, now that the person who brought the fan base back together, if he's gone, is it going to redivide?
No.
Is there going to be a fracture now that he's gone?
Mahomes
is here.
Who will
mend these fences?
Mahomes is here. He'll fix it. He'll fix it. I don't know what fracture is going to come up in the Chiefs fan base over the next 10 years. I got a feeling 15's got it. I got a feeling I could be wrong. I could be off, but I got a feeling that 15 is going to be able to fix it. So let's get back to the Kansas City Chiefs, the actual Kansas City Chiefs, the ones that actually play on the field. This happened the last time that the Kansas City Chiefs went to Washington to take on the now named football team.
Charles lines up wide. Chiefs into the backfield. They got second down and goal to go at the five of the Redskins. Leading 17 to nothing. Quick pass right to Charles. Gets a block now. He's into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. Jamal Charles adds a receiving touchdown to his rushing touchdown, and the Chiefs lead 23 to nothing.
If you remember the last time that the Kansas City Chiefs went to Washington to take on the Washington football team, Jamal Charles got busy against the football team the last time that these two teams met back in December of 2013. The Chiefs beat the Washington football team 45-10. Jamal Charles, 19 carries, 150 yards, and one touchdown. It got me thinking, if you think back to the great career of Jamal Charles here in a Kansas City Chiefs uniform, what are the games, the memories, the moments that stand out in your head? Rob, I would say number one, it's the game against the Oakland Raiders. You remember Jamal had four touchdowns in that game, and it's the iconic picture of him with his arms crossed and them throwing beer and stuff on him after he had been cooking them all evening. I think back, and my number two would be against the New Orleans Saints. They only won that game because Jamal was on their team. You remember that road game against the Saints? He had that long touchdown play. That Chiefs team was in a bad way. That was not a good Chiefs team. But they had Jamal on their team, and Jamal, I thought, single-handedly won them a football game. And I think back to this game against Washington. What I remember most about this game is just how easy it was for them that day offensively. 19 carries, 150 yards. He used to always cook the Broncos, too. I just was thinking back to Jamal Charles. The last time that Kansas City traveled to Washington, it was 2013, a 45-10 win. The Chiefs were 10-3 at the end of that game, and Jamal had a really big day against the football team.
It's funny because when you think of Jamal Charles, you have all those outstanding memories, but the one that comes to mind for me is an Andy Reid game. He wasn't with Andy Reid all that long. He was only with Andy Reid, what, three seasons of his career? And yet, the game against Oakland, the one where he had all the touchdowns, and it seemed like Andy Reid and Jamaal Charles were about to screen Matt McGloin and the Raiders to death, and they basically did. That's the game that pops out to me. This game stands out because it was in the snow and the sleet and the nasty, and by halftime, all dozen Washington fans had given up on that football team because Jamaal Charles broke their spirit. The Saints game you're right about, the one thing that kind of stinks for Jamaal Charles is he did make a career of cooking the Broncos, like just embarrassing them. But if you had to think of one thing about the Broncos versus Jamaal Charles that stands out, it's that fumble on the Thursday night game, right? Like all the goodwill he had built up by crushing the Broncos is gone in one moment. Isn't that kind of the harsh reality of Jamaal Charles?
I think that's very unfair for all that Jamaal did to the Kansas City Chiefs. But I think it's a little bit unfair.
That moment does stand out. It's a huge moment. I mean, unfortunately, for better or worse, it does stand out, right?
Yeah, that's not what comes to the forefront of my memory is the fumble against the Broncos. You guys call me Buzz Killington, and that's how you guys remember Jamaal Charles? Hey, do you guys remember that time we lost because of him? You really hate running backs, Rob. Something happened. I don't get it. That's not even in the top 10 for me of Jamaal Charles memories. The fumble against the Broncos? The fumble. In like the shadow of their own end zone. You're thinking at that moment, yeah, we're finally going to beat the Broncos, who have been whipping the Chiefs for the last 4 years. They have been whipping them. Actually, now think about it. That was the last time that the Chiefs lost to the Broncos, wasn't it? The last time they lost
that
to
was them. The last loss to the Broncos.
That's why you remember it.
Mm-hmm, it stands out.
Yeah, that's wrong. I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you would bring this segment down with my Jamaal Charles. What, do you want to break down this game? You want to break down the Mahomes versus Heinicke matchup? I'm trying to think of fun things for us to talk about for the next 3 hours, and you're bringing it down. Someone says that's literally number two for me. If that's one of the memories you remember with Jamaal Charles, then what are we doing here? If that's one of the top memories you have for Jamaal Charles, I never want to hear you argue that he's a Hall of Famer. I never want to hear that argument come out. I know you don't argue that because you think running backs should be removed from the Hall of Fame. Like they should go take Walter Payton's bust and move it somewhere else, or Gale Sayers.
I mean, when they remove X-Factor, they should just remove all running backs. X-Factor running backs out of here.
Everybody, just get them out of there. OJ, you got to come too.
Well, obviously, that's an obvious one. OJ should definitely be out. That's your example?
I just was thinking of a great running back that's in the Hall of Fame. If that's one of your memories of Jamaal Charles, don't ever argue me he should be in the Hall of Fame. Because by definition, you don't think he should be a Hall of Famer. So the last time that the Chiefs went to Washington for a game, it was in 2013. That was the last time that those two teams have played each other in a regular season game, 45-10. Coming up on the other side, Josh Gordon wants to be more involved in the Chiefs offense. We'll talk about it next. Keep it locked right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2-6.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com and the Odyssey app. Coming up in just a bit, we'll talk about the Kansas City Chiefs defense and what are our expectations for them coming up on Sunday against the Washington football team. Washington does have some pieces. Now, we're not sure how many of those pieces are going to be available on Sunday. Terry McLaurin is questionable for the game. He is by far and away their number one option. They got a capable running back in Antonio Gibson. He seems like he's going to play. Curtis Samuels, a good wide receiver option, not a great wide receiver option, but definitely capable. He seems like he's going to go in this game. Washington is not bad. Like, I haven't really been making fun of the Washington football team. I got respect for Washington. I think they are a good team, but I said it yesterday. I don't think they're good enough to beat Kansas City, but I think they're good enough that you can lose to them. I don't think that Washington can beat Kansas City straight up, but I do think that Washington is good enough where if you make a couple of mistakes, this game can be way closer in the fourth quarter than anybody wants or thinks it can be, and they can do just enough offensively, just enough defensively to end up making this a game. So I'm not here throwing jokes about Washington. I think they are a capable football team that will probably finish around 500 this year. I could see them winning anywhere between probably 6 to 8 games this year. I don't think they finish over 500, but I think they'll be in that range. And I think there's teams like Kansas City, teams like Dallas, good teams on their schedule that they're good enough to kind of put a scare into them, especially if you're going to play them on the road. We'll talk about that coming up in about 15 minutes or so. But let's talk about Josh Gordon. He has sort of been the forgotten man this week with only having one catch, only playing in 9 snaps, and the issues with the defense. But Josh Gordon met with the media today, and he said this about the expectations that he has or has been placed on him as a new member of the Kansas City Chiefs.
I don't feel like there's a rush to do anything or do something I've done in the past. You know, I just want to be a part of a great team and organization, play my role. I know I'm coming in late to the system. You know, there's guys that have been here since training camp. You know, I really want to come in and try to earn my position. Obviously, if I get those opportunities, I want to make a play for the team, most importantly, whenever they occur. So I don't really have any, expectations as far as timeline-wise, but I just want to go out there and give my all.
That was Josh Gordon as he met with the media earlier today. I am really excited to see what Josh Gordon's role in this offense is going to be over the coming weeks. I thought his role was going to be a little bit bigger on Sunday than it was. He was only on the field for 9 snaps. He only got the one target. He committed a bad penalty, but I don't put that on him. I thought it was a really bad call. I thought that call was as equally as bad as the roughing the passer call on Frank Clark, but the roughing the passer, like, you got an interception on that play. So I get why that play just got a little bit more conversation and buzz around it than what happened to Josh Gordon. I'm still optimistic about Gordon. Maybe it's going to take a little bit more time than I had possibly anticipated. And I got a little bit kind of worked up with the way that they were talking about him, but it seems like it's a gradual process. But what I do think can keep this hype train humming along, Rob, is Andy Reid seems to be on board with giving Josh Gordon more of an opportunity. We heard him say after the last game that he would have liked for Josh Gordon to be on the field more. I was thinking to myself, where aren't you the head coach? Like, don't you control if he's on the field more? But you know what? I left that alone. Today, he communicated again that he would like to see more from Josh Gordon and would like to see him on the field more.
Yeah, you know what? He did good. I mean, if we hadn't gone into the hurry-up mode, he would have had more. I was thinking somewhere 20 plays, to get him in, and he got 9. But we also jumped into the hurry up, late in the third quarter. So cut him off of some plays there.
So that was Andy Reid as he met with the media earlier today about Josh Gordon. We'll see what the roles and responsibilities are for Josh Gordon in the upcoming game. I don't really know what it is. I thought he was going to be on the field more on Sunday. He was on the field for less than 10 snaps. I thought he was going to be a part of the offense and they would have 3 to 4 plays designed for him to kind of get going and get integrated into the offense. They threw him the ball one time. Now, athletically, physically, he looks good. I thought on the one time they threw it to him, he skied up there, got the catch, moved the chains, and got this team a first down. We'll see on Sunday if we see a little bit more. This is the perfect time to really start to gradually get Josh Gordon to be a bigger part of this offense. you don't play a great defense here over the next 3 weeks. You got the Washington football team this week, the Tennessee Titans next week, and in 2 weeks you play a home game against the New York Giants. That's the easiest stretch this season for the Kansas City Chiefs. After that stretch, I don't think it's particularly as hard as the first 5 weeks of the season, but it ain't easy. You then host Green Bay. You then play on the road on Sunday Night Football against the Raiders. You then play the Dallas Cowboys, who could arguably be the best team in the NFL. It doesn't get any easier after this three-week stretch. So now's the time for us to see some changes with this team, whether it's offensively with the inclusion of Josh Gordon, whether it's defensively with making a change from Daniel Sorensen to Juan Thornhill, or making some different rotations, whether it be with Jaron Reed or Ben Neiman, or whatever the fixes are. This is the time in the schedule to figure that stuff out. The time to figure that out is not on the road on Sunday Night Football against the Raiders or home against the Dallas Cowboys. It's now in these games against a team that you should be able to out-talent your next three opponents. You should be able to out-talent the football team. You are better than Tennessee, who I think is probably the worst team that has a winning record in the NFL. You certainly can out-talent the New York Giants. After that, that conversation is over. There's not another team left on the schedule that I think you can really out-talent this side of, let's say, the Denver Broncos or so. So this is now the time to get right and get some things figured out and really get some momentum going as you head back into a difficult stretch of your schedule. We'll get back to Chiefs and the football team coming up in just a minute, but let's get you some props for Sunday's game.
We'll start our game props where we always start our game props, the opposing quarterback and his passing yards number against this. I don't even have adjectives anymore. Bad. Bad Chiefs defense. Taylor Heinicke Carrington, his over-under. Taylor Heinicke's over-under for yards on Sunday is 260.5. Which way are you believing in the XFL star?
This is a good one. This is a good one for this reason. I could see there being a little bit of garbage time. I can see there being a little last 8 minutes. You're throwing the football, but this production really doesn't count. I'm going to take the under on passing yards for this reason. At some point, what goes up must come down. And I do think at some point we'll start to see the leveling out of the Chiefs defense. I also think there's a chance that Terry McLaurin doesn't play in this game. So if you don't have Scary Terry in this game, who's getting the catches? Where is the ball going to in this scenario? And that's a position in which I think the Chiefs can take advantage. I'm going to roll the dice here, and I'm going to take the under on Heinicke passing yards.
Have the Chiefs given up under 260 all season?
I'm going to assume the answer is probably no.
Yes. Yeah, they did it once. It looks like against the Chargers, or is that their yards? But I don't know how you can take the
bang
under
up job by you on this. You've really knocked this part out of the park.
Well, I was just curious. I was looking it up and saying, I mean, Heinicke, there's no way it's under. Just no way. Always bet the overs. We continue on. Patrick Mahomes is on a streak you don't want to be on. He has thrown an interception every game dating back to that Sunday Night Football game against the Baltimore Ravens. Carrington, they're playing a terrible defense. His over-under for interceptions on Sunday is set at half. So the question is simple. Is he throwing an interception or does he break the streak this Sunday?
I'm going to go with break the streak this Sunday. I don't think Mahomes is going to throw an interception. They've really kept banging the drum for, I got to make better decisions. I got to make better decisions. I got to make better decisions. So this is week one of making better decisions. And based on what we just heard from the person that covers the Washington football team, their defensive line is not playing at a level in which you think they're going to be able to get consistent pressure with their front four. So I'm going to bet on Mahomes here, who's on pace to throw 19 interceptions, which, come on now, we know he's not throwing 19 interceptions this year. I'm going to take the under on Mahomes' interceptions. I think they clear up some of the turnover issues starting this week.
We continue on. The running back the Chiefs should have drafted in the third round plays for the Washington football team. He's also an elite pass catcher. His name is Antonio Gibson. His over-under for yards on the ground this Sunday is 70.5. Carrington. Does the Chiefs defense bow up and hold Antonio Gibson under 70 yards this upcoming weekend?
I can't bet on that. Chiefs got to show me they can stop the run. They got to show me that they can slow down the run. I'll bet on Antonio Gibson here. I mean, I don't think that they're going to hold Washington to 17 points. Washington's going to be able to move the ball. They're going to be able to get in the end zone and score. The Chiefs haven't shown me any resistance in that. You got to take the over on something offensively for the Washington football team. I'll take it on the running game. I'll take it for Antonio Gibson, who I do think is going to have a decent day against the Chiefs. I'll take the over on Gibson rushing yards.
Speaking of running backs, for some reason, DraftKings and their over-unders just always disrespect the Chiefs running game. Darrell Williams, his over-under for rush yards against that Washington football team defense this upcoming Sunday is set at 46.5, Carrington. Darrell Williams, over or under 46.5.
Can't we see this coming for the Kansas City Chiefs? A running back controversy? Like, don't we see it coming a mile away? Don't we see Darrell Williams playing really well over these next 3 weeks? And then there's a week of us debating the best running back for the Chiefs is. Like, can't you see this script already being written out? I'm going to take the over. I think Darrell Williams, especially against this caliber of opponent that they're going up against here over the next 3 weeks or so, I think he's going to play really well. And by the time Clyde Edwards-Helaire comes back, I think there is going to be a 2-3-4-day stretch of shows here locally, not just on this show, not just on this station, the newspaper, the other station, podcast. It will be a conversation on, are they better without Clyde Edwards-Helaire? I think that's going to be a thing at some point this season.
When that conversation comes about, you're going to join me in the they wasted a draft pick on the running back bandwagon, or you're just going to wait until they don't sign him?
I mean, I don't think they wasted a draft pick, but I think it's fair to say that they haven't gotten back what they thought they were going to get. Like, let's say that they had drafted J.K. Dobbins with that pick, and Dobbins is what he is with the Ravens. I wouldn't consider it a waste.
I mean, we disagree, but running back, you know, man.
I would just argue right now that running back's not productive. Like, my, I guess, point of contention with you with running back is you make it seem like they have no value. That might be overvalued, but having a good running game is a valuable thing to have. I think they've spent resources to be good at running the football, and they're not good at running the football. That's different to me than not getting the most out of the position.
Our final over-under for Sunday, a surprising trend has emerged. We haven't talked much about it. Travis Kelce has not had more than 75 receiving yards in back-to-back games against Philadelphia and Buffalo. Against Philly, who's terrible, he only had 23 yards, and against Buffalo, 57 yards. His over-under when taking on the Washington football team this weekend is set at 83.5. So, Carrington, they expect to bounce back. Where are you? Over-under 83.5 for Travis Kelce.
I'm going to take the over for Travis Kelce. He's just not a guy you're going to keep down for a long period of time. I mean, just over the course of the season, I think it's like a 50-50 proposition on any game that he's going to have 100 yards or not. Just due to the targets he's going to get, due to his ability, and due to the offense. So I will take the over on Travis Kelce at 83.5 yards. I'll take the over.
He's had more games under 100 yards this year than he has over. There's your fun fact of the day.
Well, they've had five games. So, I mean, there's going to be an odd number and an even number on one side or the other.
That's not how 50-50 works. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, I mean, well, I would say now's the time that with six games, you get to the third one, and half the games you're over 100 yards and half the games you're not. So, yeah, no, I mean, there's no reason to be worried about Kelce. I think Kelsey's going to have over 100 yards in this game. Stick around. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about the defense and what are your expectations for the defense. It sounds like Washington is going to be a little bit banged up offensively. Kansas City's also banged up defensively. I'm somewhat optimistic about the defense coming up on Sunday. I'll explain. Keep it locked right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio. Welcome back to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Coming up in exactly 30 minutes, we'll be joined by Nate Taylor of The Athletic. Nate Taylor will be on the show coming up in 30 minutes. We'll talk to him about Daniel Sorensen. We'll talk to him about the defense and what changes does he think that we can potentially see. Coming up, we'll update you. We're doing a contest right now. Rob has been gathering the text messages. We will update you because we are having a little bit of a game. We are having a game to get your best I got out of work story or out of an important meeting or event story. While we're doing this is some members of the Philadelphia 76ers feel that Ben Simmons faked COVID exposure to get out of a playoff game. Now, if you're at that point, if that's what you're accusing your teammate potentially of doing, the relationship is over. And I don't know when the 76ers are going to trade Ben Simmons or where he is going to be traded to, but enough has been said on both sides to know that that's not a relationship that's going to be very viable for a long period of time. So at some point, Ben Simmons is going to play for another team. I told my story of what got me out of work. Rob told his story of what got him out of work. Rob has been compiling the text. We still want to read more. 913-576-7610. We are doing that right here on 610 Sports Radio. But let's keep talking about the upcoming game between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Washington football team. We had Nick Ashew on the show earlier. Here's how he said Washington could maybe beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
We could take a miracle of possibly Patrick Mahomes not showing up to the game at all. If we tell him it's a Monday night game and he shows up then, maybe that's the only way. I just don't see any chance that Washington wins this game. And maybe I'm jaded because I've watched so much of these failures from them this year. I would hammer the over in this because we know neither team can really play any defense.
I'm not going to say that it's going to take a miracle for Washington to win this game. Now, I am not picking Washington to win this game. I don't think you can pick them to win it. But if you can't get stops defensively and you turn the ball over the way that Kansas City has the first 5 weeks of the season, you can lose to just about anybody in the league. So to me, it'd be preposterous to at least not entertain the possibility that Washington could pull off the upset. You're dead last in points allowed. You're 31st in the NFL at yards given up. You're 31st in the NFL in turnover differential. You can absolutely lose this game. We saw the Buffalo Bills lose earlier this season to the Pittsburgh Steelers. We saw the Baltimore Ravens need a game-winning field goal from 66 yards to beat the Detroit Lions. I'm not here telling you there's no chance that Washington can't beat Kansas City. There's definitely a chance. There's a chance because there are enough weapons and options offensively for Washington to keep it interesting. And they've got some pieces on defenses that can scare you a little bit. They've got big time pass rushers. Now, Chase Young is not playing anywhere close to the level this season that he was last year. But I'd be crazy to sit here and discredit Chase Young and think that he can't get to the quarterback in this game. Be crazy to sit here and say that Chase Young isn't somebody that you should potentially worry about and know where he is at all times. He's one of the better young edge rushers, pass rushers in the league. My expectations for the Chiefs to me are a very simple one. I'm watching the game yesterday between Tampa and the Eagles because I had Tampa in Survivor. I won, by the way. I just want to go ahead and point that out. I'm 6-0 this season in Survivor. You guys don't have to say anything about it. Believe me, I'll do it for both of us. And I'm seeing the kind of game that Tampa can win. So far this season, Kansas City has only shown us they can win one kind of game. It's really difficult to win a championship if you can only win one way. They've only shown us that they can win the 35-30 game, the 42-30 game, the way they did against Philadelphia. They've shown us they can only really win if they can just outscore you and score and score and score and put so much pressure on you. Sometimes you got to win a 28-22 game the way that Tampa just showed you that they can win it. Tampa wasn't perfect yesterday. It wasn't a clean game from them. But Tampa defensively can do enough where they can hold their opponent under 24 points and go out there and win. They can limit a quarterback like Jalen Hurts and make him look pretty human and pretty pedestrian. They can make Philadelphia one-dimensional where they don't even consider running the football, and you can control the tempo and the style of that fight. This is the kind of offense that you should be able to do that against. They have a bottom 10 quarterback in the NFL. And I think Taylor Heineke's fine, but he's a high-end backup in the league. Heineke shouldn't be your starting quarterback, but if your quarterback goes out and you need him to give you 3 to 4 weeks of production, he's capable of doing that. Taylor Heinicke will play 8 years in the league just off of that sentence alone. I'll be able to come play in a pinch. Quarterback injuries are going to happen. You need a viable backup. Heinicke is an NFL quarterback, but he's not a guy that should carve you up for 350. He's not a guy that is elusive and mobile and can beat you in multiple ways. They're number one wide receiver. You guys were telling me yesterday Terry McLaurin is a top tier elite wide receiver in the league. High tier two kind of guy. He might not play in this game. Antonio Gibson's a fine running back, but there's 15 running backs in the league like Antonio Gibson. He's not a special back. He's a capable back. He's a good back. Not a special back in the league. There's no reason for this game to be a shootout. No reason for it to be a shootout. So if you want what my bare minimum expectation is, I'm not even talking about style points in this game. You're under 500. That time for style points, we can have that conversation at a later date. Let's figure out a way to win. But if we're talking about really building towards something and wanting to see progress and growth from this team, the expectation has to be to keep them under 30 points. This can't be a 35-31 game. This can't be a 38-35 Harrison Butker has to save you at the end with the field goal kind of game. The same defense that you played in the second half against Buffalo, if you can channel some of that and do that against Washington, you're going to win the game, and I think you'll win the game convincingly. So I would say, Rob, at a minimum, you have to set an expectation and a goal and a checklist of we have to hold that team under 30. Because the goal for you whenever you go out there is we're going to score 30. This is a game that you should win 35-24, 35-27. This game shouldn't be played into the 30s, and Mahomes shouldn't have to wheel and deal some Mahomes magic for you to out-duel Taylor Heinicke because he's having a game of his life. That shouldn't be the conversation that we're having on Monday.
There is so much that's eerily familiar to me between this game and the Eagles game. I feel like the conversation is very similar. It's a get-right game. You feel like you're just better than this team. They don't have the quarterback to beat you. It's a road game. It's a noon game. There's no national buzz. It's, you know, your defense should probably hold them down because you're more talented than them. Your offense can put up whatever number they want. It's a pick-your-score type of game. Ho-hum, you win 38-21. Everything about the Eagles game and the Washington football team game feel that way. That's not what happened in the Eagles game. All these same points were dashed by Jalen Hurts going out there and smoking the Chiefs and Devontae Smith looking like he was playing against Ohio State again. He crushed the Chiefs. So you're right. I agree with all those things. The Chiefs need to hold them under 30 and keep Taylor Heinicke down and make him look like an XFL player, not an NFL quarterback. But if he goes out there and it looks like the Jalen Hurts game and the Chiefs win 45-31, it's a comfortable two-score win, but it's nip and tuck for 2.5 quarters, and you're getting up 30-plus to this version of the Washington football team, I think you need to kind of view that as a loss on Monday. We need to treat it like a loss on Monday. Giving up 30 or big offensive numbers that aren't just accumulated in garbage time, but real offensive numbers against this defense with that football team is a problem.
Yeah, I agree. It's right now it's about creating building blocks. It's about can the defense hand you an effort that at the end of the day you feel good about? I would say if they even play how they played against the Los Angeles Chargers earlier this season, you would feel good. I thought their defense was fine in that game, and the offense just pretty consistently put them in bad spaces with turnovers. But I thought defensively, I thought they did enough. If they can give you that effort on Sunday against Washington, you win this game pretty convincingly. If they can give you the same effort that you gave against Buffalo in the second half, that should be a game that you go out and win. It's that simple. You should be able to go out there and win this football game. So that's the expectation that I'm holding them to. I don't know what's going to happen with Terry McLaurin. So I'd feel really good if they held him under 100 yards, but I don't know if he's going to play or not. So why set that as a goal or an expectation? Heinicke is not a quarterback that should be able to exploit your defense. This is not a team that should be able to score 30 points against you. So that's the bare minimum expectation I'm holding this defense to. If they do those two things on Sunday, on Monday, I'll be in a good mood. if Washington is able to rack up 450 yards of total offense and move the football against you, especially with the amount of injuries that they have, then this is a disappointing outcome. There's really no other way about it. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Nate Taylor of The Athletic. He'll sit in with us and talk a little bit of Kansas City Chiefs football. Rob, let's get to some text. What are your favorite I missed work stories? So we're doing this. We're giving the winner a prize. Ben Simmons of the Philadelphia 76ers. His teammates believe that he faked COVID exposure to potentially get out of a playoff game. If you've reached that point, it's rough going of it. What are your favorite I miss work stories?
There are three that stand out real quick.
Okay.
First, Textline knows how to get in my heart. Texter texts in. It was a KU football game, so you know I'm already in. They wanted to go to the game, but their boss said they had to work. He went to a Quick Trip gas station, deflated his tires at the air pump, took a photo of his deflated tires, told his boss, "I can't come in today. My car has tires that are busted." Boss said, "I'm sorry to hear that. Take the day off. Take care of your car." He then was already at Quick Trip, pumped the tires back up, drove to the game, had himself a nice Saturday. The second one that I love.
Hold on. Let's talk about it. Hold on. Right. Slow down. You're eager. You're getting a chance to talk. You're eager. This is smart. I mean, this is really smart here. Like, really, really smart here by this gentleman. Because a flat tire, what can you do in that scenario? Even if you're able-bodied, if you got a flat tire, you ain't going nowhere in this scenario. So the fact that he had the wherewithal to be the one to deflate the tires is super smart. Very, very smart. I don't know that man, but I applaud that man for his ingenuity.
I mean, just genius behavior. The second one that I really enjoyed. A man went to a Chiefs game on a Sunday night, and he knew Monday it was going to be one of those hangover days. So he alerted his boss on Monday morning, "Hey, I'm not feeling well. I'm not coming in." His boss was had some questions, so he used his wife or significant other to get a fake doctor's note and sent it to his boss saying, quote, "See, I went to the doctor because I was under the weather." The boss then gave him the subsequent Tuesday off for this hangover. That's some ingenuity. Go out and get the fake doctor's note. Well done. I respect that.
I don't like that one as much as the other one. It's an okay story. I don't like that as much as the other one. That one to me seems like kind of Ferris Bueller-y to me.
Ferris Bueller?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great, but I'm saying is you're an adult. You're in the big leagues now. If they were pulling those kind of schemes back in 1987, I'm not going to be impressed by you doing that in 2019. No, the game has evolved. That's not one I can do. I can't do that one.
Well, then you're not going to like the last one I enjoy, because we're clearly not enjoying the same things, because a man told his boss he had to go to his grandmother's funeral. His grandmother had been passed away for a while. His boss/work required they show an obituary to prove that they were going to the funeral. His wife scanned the obituary into their computer, changed the date on the newspaper obituary, printed it out, and sent it to the boss. The boss did not know the wiser. He got 3 days paid vacation because of a fake funeral several years later. Too Ferris Bueller-y?
No, I actually like that one. I like the scanned obituary. I still like the fake. I like the flat tire the best. That one has to move on. Now, we'll keep reading some of these, 913-576-7610, but right now, the going to Quick Trip to deflate your tires, taking a picture, getting out of work, and then pumping the tires back up to go to work. I mean, that's a genius move. I've never thought of that before. The fake doctor's note, we've all done that before. Like, I've done that before. Like, I've been sick before. I've gone to the doctor, and at least at our job, Rob, maybe I'm snitching on myself a little bit, but it happened such a long time ago, I don't really matter at this point.
New boss, buddy, you're safe.
So our job says that if you miss work for 3 days, you have to provide a doctor's note in order to get paid or whatever. So, like, I probably could have came back the third day, but I'm like, you know what? I'm here at the doctor. I'm just going to have them go ahead and add 2 days to the end of this. I was going to take the rest of the week off and say I was sick. So, I mean, It's not as hard to get the doctor's note as people would think. I don't think the doctor's note takes a lot of finesse. You can get an obituary on the interwebs. You go on the interwebs, you find you one, you print it off, you do your, you know, little Photoshop, you change some things, and you're back in the game.
I think the fact that it was his grandmother, too, was next level because the names would have matched up. Everything family-wise would have matched up. You know, she is whatever the term is after her passing with this family member. He would have been listed in that. All you do is change the date from the newspaper article. That's some ingenuity. But Quick Trip guy, Quick Trip guy's a hero. Someone on the text line says he needed to Uber into work. I'm not his boss. His boss didn't have to come in because of the flat tire. So, well done.
I mean, I got to figure out the tire situation. I'm about to Uber right now. Like, I got to take care of this. So, no, I'm not Ubering in that situation either. I got to take care of this. So, no, that person's in the lead right now. I'm sure we'll find some more. 913-576-7610. I want to give more people an opportunity to win. But that's the one right now. That's the one right now that would win. That's the best submission that we've had so far in this contest. Coming up in a little bit, we'll be joined by Nate Taylor of The Athletic. I want to play this audio cut for you guys very quickly. Eric Bieniemy met with the media. He's got a lot of confidence in now Chiefs starting running back Darrell Williams.
Darrell has been doing this for a number of years now. He's a very smart and intelligent player. He's done a lot of great things. Obviously, he hasn't had the opportunity to play as much as everybody would want him to play, but there's a reason why he's here. Okay, just like you said, we always coach our backups to be starters, and we want him to be ready. He's more than ready. This is the opportunity that he's been waiting for. You never want to jump on an opportunity when players are hurt, but when those opportunities are presented, he will maximize it and go and do the things that we know that he can do.
I am going to be very curious to get Nate's opinion when he comes in here about, I don't sense a lot of worry or concern that the Chiefs are going to be without Clyde Edwards-Helaire for at least the next 3 weeks. And if that's the opponents, if that's the confidence in the other running back options, or it is a lack of confidence in Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Now, I think Darrell Williams is capable. I think Jerick McKinnon is capable. So at least my confidence and why I'm not that worried about it is, I don't think there's going to be that much of a drop-off. Now, do I think that any of those individual one running backs are as capable as Clyde Edwards-Helaire? No, I don't think that. But let's say that they run the ball 21 times in this game. 21 times. And if they ran the ball the same amount with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I don't think there'd be that much of a difference in terms of production and what they would get out of the position based on the usage. And for a team that spent a pretty significant resource on said player, it's not good that I feel this way. If you draft a player of his magnitude at that part in the draft, that's a guy that should move the needle. That's a guy that there should be some expectation of, well, if he's not there, then it changes their offense. I don't really think it changes their offense that much. They're one of the five best offenses in the league. I mean, really top four just because Tampa played last night, so they have just higher numbers than everybody else offensively right now because of the extra game. But the Chiefs' offense is going to be fine. That's not really what you think when you spend a high draft pick on that position. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Nate Taylor of The Athletic. We'll talk about this. We'll talk about the defense. We'll take your phone calls. We'll answer your question. It will be Chiefs-a-palooza here on The Drive.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.